Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here in Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll be back in a moment with today's guest, Art Halverson, and later, Bill Schuster, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Over the last 36 programs that we've done on this radio station, I have promised you that I would never do one about politics. And so I'm going to break the promise. Not that politics would ever break promises, but I wanted to do it because this congressional election coming up next Tuesday is going to be pretty important to Bedford County, and it's going to be pretty important to the region and where else they're having congressional elections all over the country. So we have invited two guests. First, Art Halverson, who was from Man's Choice, and he is running for the United States Congress in the 9th District, and also Bill Schuster, who we're going to hear from a little bit later on. Art, first of all, thank you very much for taking the time to do this.
Well, it's my pleasure, Lloyd. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Privilege.
You are a serious Coast Guard veteran. I understand 29 years. Is that right?
Sir. Well, I actually had 33 if you count my 4 years at the academy. I don't consider that it was actually active duty, but I don't.
Well, you're in the Coast Guard.
Right, I was. But right. 29 years is a good number. That's what I served after the academy as a commissioned officer.
And you were a search and rescue chopper pilot. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Actually, I started out of the academy. Everybody has to go to a ship. So I went to an icebreaker in northern Michigan, and I broke ice for 2 years on the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac. And then after three attempts of applying to get into Naval Flight School, where the Marines, Coast Guard, and Navy all learn how to fly, I was accepted. And in 1980, went to Pensacola and got my pilot's license, if you will, my wings of gold.
So, and then you spent your career in aviation?
Right. I spent about 22 years actually in the cockpit as alternating between a search and rescue pilot, many missions we could talk about, dark and stormy nights, saving people's lives. It was a very exciting, adrenaline-driving type of a career, young man's game. But also spent 4 years as an instructor and 3 years as a test pilot.
Instead of asking you why you're running for Congress, which everyone does, I think that's pretty obvious. You've run for Congress now twice. This
second time. Yes, sir.
So I think that the issue is taken care of. But what I really want to focus on this morning are three areas where I think are real hot buttons right now, especially for people in Bedford County, and that is national and local security, terrorism, and Veterans Affairs. And I like to handle those one thing at a time.
Right.
Because of your vast military experience, obviously overseas included, why are we blowing it right now with security? What is going on? We have a government that doesn't seem to kind of understand that's part of the deal.
Well, constitutionally, of course, we know the primary role for the federal government is national security, and that's why we call our president the commander-in-chief. That's his job, is to lead our armed forces to defend the nation. That's why Congress was given the authority to declare war and to fund it with the power of the purse. So that part, we have it structurally correct. The problem is leadership, and that's what's happened in our country, is a crisis in leadership. We don't have people in Congress, for example, who have it's less than one in five have served a day in the military. Not sure they know how to spell it. It's crazy that veterans have not stepped up, and that instead this development of career politicians has evolved to the point where they are seemingly serving their own interests and not the interests of the nation. And so the concept of citizen legislators, people who have had military experience serving in Congress, has been lost. And I'm trying to reclaim that.
Well, one of the things that is apparent to most citizens is the White House's view toward military strength. I think, right. You know, he really wants to be the good guy in chief.
Well, he wants to lead from behind. Yeah. I mean, that's his own phrase, and Congress has
never quite understood what that meant.
Well, it's an oxymoron, and it's a reflection of the lack of understanding of what leadership is, quite right. frankly, and. It's an epidemic. It's both in the White House and it's in the House of Representatives. And so I'm openly critical of my own party, right. who has the majority now in the House and the Senate, that people have not stood up and fulfilled their constitutional responsibilities to protect the country.
From what you understand, does the Congress have enough influence to make these changes
well,
as a body?
Absolutely. Policy is made in Washington with money. Where you put your money is where your policy is. And the policy follows the money. Mm-hmm. Everything follows the money. And so Congress has the power of the purse. If they knew how to exercise it, they would wield all the power. The president would not be getting his way if Congress, if we had leadership, competent leadership in Congress, who understood discipline, they understood basic principles of leadership, strategy, casting a vision, creating a vector with alternatives. When something doesn't work, you have a plan B, a plan C, mm-hmm. and take us in the direction we need to go, which is to protect the nation, close our borders, and seal them as necessary to avoid infiltration from the enemy, and maintain our sovereignty. And that seems to have been lost.
So a little civics lesson for me would be to say that if you wanted to close the border, build a wall, whatever, the United States, the Congress could write and propose bills to do that.
Well, not only could they yeah. should. That's their responsibility.
So why is this not happening, you think? I mean, this we're talking about the entire United States Congress, 400-some people.
Right. It's 435 in the House and, of course, 100 in the Senate.
I knew you'd know that.
Yeah. There's nobody there that is advocating for what just common sense. They're all being persuaded by the donors who have different interests, have multinational interests, whose alliances is not necessarily to the country per se. So as the nation, as the world has become more globalized, this nonsense of open borders has become popularized. Congressmen have fallen for it and lost sight of our sovereignty.
I think one of the results of this kind of thing, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about the vets, but in the active military, has got to be affected by this attitude.
But they're demoralized by the fact that they don't have any leaders that yeah. are giving them straight direction about how to defend the nation. That's going to lead to a downfall of the nation. That's just not the way you win wars and protect yourself.
Yeah, it's interesting. We just had a short program with one of the commissioners here in Bedford County, and he pointed out, and I quite forgotten, he said all three commissioners are veterans.
Right.
In fact, all of them are former officers of the Army and
right.
one enlisted man. So
right.
Bedford's been well said. At least
well, Bedford's
if, we
well
had,
represented.
If we had them maybe doing yeah. some of this, we'd have a better understanding.
You know, an interesting thing, Lloyd, yeah. is between Blair County and Bedford County, there are 12 mm-hmm. Medal of Honor winners. This place, this region, has produced some of the finest men and women. Frankly, women serve in the military now as well. To have ever served our nation. And Dennis Tice here has done some great things with memorializing that. We've got on September 10th an establishment of the Korean War
right.
Memorial. And so good things are happening. Veterans are, I think, becoming more appreciated by folks. And so it's a good direction. The fact that the commissioners are all veterans mm-hmm. is a good sign. The fact that I'm a veteran and mm-hmm. I intend to be the next congressman is a good sign. And we need to wake up the people who I think want to go back to that patriotism. They see the direction we're going as a country is the wrong direction. They want to turn it around.
Let me turn you – this, of course, is completely related to our national security. ISIS,
right.
Islamic terrorism, who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought?
10 years ago.
It was a strategic mistake by our president, and our Congress went along with it. We withdrew all the troops from Iraq, and, of course, it created a power vacuum, and, of course, nature abhors vacuums. And so ISIS and Al-Qaeda of Iraq, I think, was generally considered the genesis of ISIS. This radical form of Islamic terrorism, this jihadist idea where you just kill any infidel, anyone who's not one of them. And we've seen it all over the TV screens and newspapers. It's abhorrent, and it has to be stopped. But it's going to take a leader to stand up and say, this is how we stop it. And I have said openly and led on this issue that we need to take bold steps to stop ISIS in their tracks where they are. They're an Islamic state. It's appropriate for the United States Congress to declare war on ISIS, and that's what I would seek to pass.
Now, this is one of the things that keeps coming up, and I think the average citizen like me goes, okay, well, we declared war on Germany, we declared war on Japan, but how do we declare war on an organization?
It is a state. They own territory. You declare war on an entity, and they are an entity.
See.
They're not an idea. They're fulfilling an ideology that has got to be eradicated, but they are a state. They are producing oil. They are selling it on the black market. They have territory. They control. They have borders. They are protecting those. They have hostages, frankly.
But I mean, how do you go to a map of the Middle East and say, this is where the Islamic terrorists
are? We know where
are.
They have declared borders, and so we know where they are.
I see.
And it's not like we are totally disengaged. We're just playing with them. Right. I say it's shadow boxing. We're plinking them. They're little Toyota gun trucks and terrorists with drones and airstrikes. I went to the United States Air War College, graduated. I know what air power can do. I was a pilot. I know what air power can't do. And it can't win a war. It's a support role. And we are pursuing this thing as a support without any troops. Nobody wants troops on the ground, but I would prefer to defeat ISIS in Iraq than in New York.
I understand. I want to swing back to this issue about veterans. We hear in the news about the VA.
They're playing games.
And all the vets are still going up there waiting for 3 months to get an appointment.
So. One of the greatest national tragedies currently happening in our country is, and there's lots of them, but one of them is that there's 22 or 23 suicides a day by veterans.
Yeah.
Now, that tells me the degree of hopelessness and helplessness by our veterans who have been rejected, many of them, by society, need to be protected by the government. That's one role of government, that is to take care of the veterans who have served and have, in many cases, given their life and limb. They need to be taken care of, and we're not doing that. And the VA ultimately is the agency that's responsible, and they've abdicated that role.
So Congress, as a congressman, you can do something about this?
Absolutely. I would seek to be on – that's the least respected committee in Congress, as I understand. It's called HVAC, House Veterans Affairs Committee. It's the low man on the totem pole. I would go on there because as a veteran and from what I'm talking about here with respect to raising consciousness of the nation about the plight of the veteran and the scandalous 6 years now, I think this scandal has been going on at the VA and virtually nothing's been done to fix it. People's confidence needs to be restored, and I intend to go to Congress and help restore the confidence of the people.
Well, what do you think of the idea that, I forget who proposed this, but I thought it wasn't bad, was to get rid of the whole VA program generally
let
the vets go to whatever doctor they want and pay for it like you do with Medicare.
Yes, sir. I'm advocating health savings accounts or medical savings accounts or veteran savings accounts, whatever, however you want to call it, that would put the money that currently goes, I think it's, I'm not, I want to quote a number, but it's in the, it may be over $100 billion that goes into the VA program, and it's wasted. It's just misapplied. It's can't be counted on to produce what it's intended to produce. Give that money to the veterans in a savings account that they can then carry portably to whatever doctor they want to. If the VA wants to compete, God bless them. If they can provide a service that the veterans want to, but let the veterans choose.
I thought maybe that the role for the veterans might be to handle some of the specialized stuff like PTSD and things of that nature.
Sure.
But the regular medical care.
Right.
I mean, for example, I live here in Bedford. I go up to Altoona.
Right.
It's a little far, but
and
I guess
doctors,
it's convenient.
Right.
Yeah.
There's doctors right here in Bedford that could handle
so
that.
So I just thought that was a pretty good idea.
Yes.
Have I missed anything here? Have we?
No, I think we've... you know, we have a short period of time. I'd love to develop some of these subjects to a greater extent, but there's a number of travesties that are basically a reflection of a crisis of leadership, a failure of leadership. Leadership is what I've been doing my whole life in business, in the parachurch organizations, in my family, in the military, and I want to parlay that into Congress now on the on the congressional side of the bench. I used to execute their orders. Now I want to be in a position to give those orders.
Art Halverson, thank you very much. Appreciate your
time. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lloyd.
Talking to us here at Bedford County Speaks. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking to Bill Schuster of the 9th District. He is the incumbent congressman as Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe. Or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Olga Herbert with the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We want to thank Art Halverson for joining us today on Bedford County Speaks, and we now turn to Congressman Bill Schuster, who is the incumbent from the 9th District. And on this matter of terrorism, they've used all the historical analogies from the Munich agreements and World War prior to World War II and all this other stuff. But the fact that it remains is that we have this evil force running around South Asia and the Mideast. And we sit here and say, well, it's no big deal, JV team. They're not going to come here. It just happens in Syria, blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing has directly affected the campaign for president 2016.
Right.
So you're in the Congress. You see all this stuff. You probably get classified information. What the devil's going on? Why can't we get our arms around this?
Well, I serve on the Armed Services Committee, so I do get to see much of this classified information. And we've been seeing it for over 3 years now. And this really it needs to be laid at the feet of the president of the United States. You know, when he said to Syria, the Syrians over 3 years ago, drew that red line in the sand, if he used chemical weapons, that we would act. And then they did it, and we didn't do anything. It encouraged bad people around the world to act because they knew the United States, the President of the United States, wasn't willing to act. And he is the commander-in-chief. He's the head of our foreign policy. He's the head of our armed forces. He did not act. And so what happened after that is Putin starts to do the things he's doing. Other countries, Iran, we cut a deal with Iran on the nuclear weapons, which is a bad deal. It was a terrible deal, giving them access to hundreds of billions of dollars to re-establish and rebuild its military and intelligence service. This president just is very naive about the evil that's in the world. And the fact that he won't call what's happening radical Islam is just wrong. That's where it's coming from. It doesn't mean that all Muslims are bad, but there's an element that's radical Islam. They're terrorists. They operate that way. And we have to take a firm stand against them.
Well, I just think the whole thing is tied together. The ISIS disaster, Guantanamo, the way we're treated by other nations.
Right.
I mean, this is a gigantic world power, and we're making concessions now to Iran through our Secretary of State.
Sure.
And in the news this week, I mean, this place isn't even as big as Texas.
Right.
You know, it's like this upside down world. I mean, what do you hear about this when you're in Washington? I mean, I'm incredulous because I can't believe that 400 plus members of Congress and 100 senators don't have the same reactions, or do they?
No, we don't. We all come from different places, but there are enough of us that we passed in the House a bill to put a pause or a stop to allowing Syrian and Iraqi refugees in this country until we get the FBI director, the DHS secretary, and the head of national intelligence to all agree that the system is not broke, and at least we can figure out how to vet these people. But they're coming from countries that don't have governments that function, so we can't get background information. And we had enough in the House. didn't have the 60 in the in
John
the Senate.
Kerry says he's working on a workaround so the Iranians could come anyway.
Well, look, this administration, they're very naive. The situation that's going on in the world, from the situation in the Middle East to the situation with Russia and what it's doing in the world, to look at what's happening in China. They're expanding into the South Pacific. Right. They want to expand their sphere of influence. This is all happening because this president has no backbone, because this president doesn't view the world in the terms of, you know, there's good people and there are bad people, and these bad people are doing things that the United States of America needs to stand up to them. And what we've lost now is our allies don't trust us. If we say we're going to do something and we don't do it, why would our allies step forward and say, we're with you, America, but they know, well, geez, they're not going to be there when the time comes, when the tough times come, America's not going to stand there. That's why it's so critical in this next election to elect a Republican president. And I'm not going to say who I'm for, because I could be for a lot of those folks up there. I want a strong commander-in-chief. The number one responsibility of the federal government, number one, bar anything else, is to make sure this country is secure. And we've got to have somebody that who has the strength, the toughness to be able to tell our enemies, you know, we're not going to tolerate this, and if something happens, that we go and take care of business. Our response to ISIS is not strong enough.
When I was a kid, they had an incident in the same place that these Chinese are building these islands. It was two islands off of Taiwan called Kimoi and Matsu. And I'm old, so I remember this stuff. And over these crappy little islands, we damn near went to war.
Right.
Eisenhower sent the 7th Fleet out there. We fly two B-52s over these islands last week, and the first thing we do is apologize.
Right.
So that's what I mean when I say it's upside down.
It absolutely is upside down. I mean, we got to make it right side up, and that's by getting a new president next November. You had Ronald Reagan do the same thing when the Libyans said we couldn't go fly into their airspace, which is a bay. I can't remember what the bay was in Libya. He flew in. He said,
right.
No, that's not the international law. So they went in. They got in a little bit of a firefight, and America demonstrated that we'll live by international law. Everybody else has to. And the Chinese right now are not living within international law. And what they're doing is building these, what are basically outcroppings from the ocean. They're building artificial islands and saying, this is our land. And the Vietnamese and the Filipinos and the Japanese and the Koreans are all very worried about it. And I don't think we're doing enough to stop them. Not that we have to go to war with China, but we need to make very, very strong and very, very clear, this is not acceptable.
Is there any movement at all in Congress, especially among the Democratic members, that maybe this thing really is going a little south and maybe they're starting to rethink about the leadership of their own president? I mean, have you felt any of that at all?
Well, there's the members on the Armed Service Committee, which I serve, be considered the hawks of the Democratic Party. I think they've seen some of that, but there aren't enough of them. In the Republican Party, you know, we've been working very hard and pushing very hard to do more with our military, to have a coherent plan. And, of course, in the NDAA, which is National Defense Reauthorization Bill that we passed this year, Republicans made it known. I pushed very hard to make sure that this administration in the bill says you have to have a comprehensive plan to deal with ISIL, to deal with the Middle East problem. They still haven't done it. This president, I think I just heard him the other day, he's blaming the media. And they haven't communicated well enough. He's been saying that for the last 6 years. He hasn't communicated well enough. Well, who he hasn't communicated well enough is with our enemies. And when he says something, he should do something. And his actions should follow his words. And if we hit him hard, all of a sudden they're going to understand that we mean business. And we have not done that. And that's why they're out there in the world doing whatever they damn well please.
See, what worries me is if something goes off in a mall in Altoona or Johnstown, or even King of Prussia, for goodness sake.
Or how about San Bernardino, California?
Or San Bernardino. But, I mean, something literally went off as a result of terrorism. Then all the people you're talking about, we become hawks tomorrow, which is what always happens.
Right.
And I don't want that to have to happen in order to get our tailing gear here.
Well, it's happened already. San Bernardino was the wake up. You know, we saw France, and then we saw San Bernardino, which was obviously inspired by ISIS. And God forbid, but we may end up another event.
We already know through our own FBI that we have cells operating in this
same
country. And the president's going, well, we have to be nice to them, and we don't want to be racist about Muslims and stuff.
Well, I think what you've already seen is the number one issue in the polls today are national security because of what's happening.
Our guest is Congressman Bill Schuster. We're here in Bedford County speaking to Congressman Schuster. He's been very kind to come over and visit us. He always does. And one final thing I want to go over with you, it is related to this, and that is the basic Guantanamo. It has really been a big issue, but not for many people. It's very simple. You have terrorists, you put them in jail, and you do it in Cuba. So what part of this do they say you can't understand? And now the administration wants to close it.
Right.
What are they going to do with these people? Are they going to put them in a jail in Harrisburg, or where are they planning to put
them? Well, they've
people?
Already moved some of them to some of our supermax facilities around the country. I don't know exactly where they want to put them, but this president, you know, he's hell-bent on closing this down. I think it's wrong. I visited Guantanamo Bay this year back in February, and the people that are there are the baddest of the bad. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's there. He's the mastermind of the 9/11. These people are just bad people, and they deserve to be in a prison that keeps all of us safe and away from all of us. And Guantanamo is a perfectly fine installation where they should stay. Unfortunately, this president, you know, the five of those folks he traded with Mr. Bo Bergdahl, the traitor, the person that walked off his base, cost lives. He made a trade for that individual for five of these. Those folks they're telling me that some of them have already been back on the battlefield, and we found that over a third of 50%, depending on what you look at, go back onto the battlefield. So we don't need to do that. In fact, I just dropped a letter. The military just came out with a regulation that said women guards couldn't handle the prisoners because of their religious beliefs. Well, that's just a bunch of crap. I mean, these people, I'm sure.
Talk about the inmates really is silent.
Exactly. If they want to pray, I understand that. They can pray. Right. But to tell us how we operate a prison, because you know what? I'm pretty sure they could find it in their religion to say it's illegal for us to hold them prisoners under their religion. So what are we going to do, release them?
Yeah.
You know, if we have people there that are females, that want to be there, that want to do that type of job, then they should be able to handle these. They are prisoners. They don't have a whole lot of civil rights, if any. Look, their treatment should be fair. They should be allowed to practice their religion, but they shouldn't dictate to us how we operate that prison down there.
I know they have better medical care than I do.
Yeah, I'm sure they again, as far as actually when we were down there in February, a few of them that had gone to a supermax prison in Colorado, I think, sent back word through their lawyers that told the inmates there, you don't want to leave Guantanamo Bay. This prison in Colorado is much worse.
Yeah.
So you know, from a standpoint of a prison, I guess they got it. It's fairly good or better than they should.
Well, you've been a treat as always. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to
thank
talk
you,
to
Lloyd.
Us. Have I missed anything here?
No, I just want to wish the folks a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's, you know, this time of giving, we ought to all, you know, look at our neighbors and our friends and make sure we're doing the right thing to help others.
I do have one more question.
Sure.
I forgot to ask you. Since you serve on armed forces and all these important committees, you've got to come in contact from time to time, I would hope, with the administration, the White House, your staff or whatever. I guess, as a citizen, this is what Trump is getting into. We don't understand why these people don't hear the same words that we hear. If you tell me the administration doesn't believe that it's more important for our defense than the human rights of a prisoner in Guantanamo, why can't they hear this? What is in their way? That's the thing that's...
It's
nobody understands.
President Barack Obama doesn't believe those things. He has taken intelligence, and they've spun it to their purposes. We just have now former Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel saying, he said all the time, we don't have a strategy. We don't have a strategy. That's why they got rid of him.
Right.
And that's what they do. He's the President of the United States. Those people serve at his pleasure. And I'm certain that Secretary Ash Carr, who's been in the defense world for a number of years, it's got to be very, very difficult for him. But, hey, he's serving at the pleasure of this president. But they don't – and this president doesn't get it. He just doesn't get that the world is a dangerous place. It's not America's fault. that these folks are doing what they're doing, because this is one great nation that tries for years and demonstrated it to free people, to help people live a better life, and we're not going to tolerate people threatening us and committing acts of terror against our people or our friends.
Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday, beginning at 8:30, to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.